Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM. It is a gym class for a Monday here on KGYM. Coming up, we'll take a look back at the Kentucky Derby, the big story over the weekend. We will talk about that, get your reactions to it as well. Also, Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette will be joining us coming up. We'll talk Cedar Rapids Colonels baseball. We'll talk about the upcoming draft for the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders and the United States Hockey League. We'll do that coming up before 4 o'clock. And it is day one of our two-week run of Race to Win. One of our more popular contests throughout the year will give you an opportunity to play Race to Win before 4 o'clock. It's all coming up on a Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Hi, everyone, and welcome into the Gym Class for a Monday. KGYM, 1600 AM, the historic main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Gazette, Kyle Mann, our producer, the entire group ready to go here. We are presented by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Locally owned and operated, and a place where families meet up again and again for a quick lunch, to catch the game after work, or bring the family for an affordable and delicious meal. Resolved to head into Third Base. And they are locally owned and operated at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. They are the presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program here on KGYM. Race to Win, your first chance to win a bevy of prizes. We've got 15 prizes, Mark, and highlighted by six general admission passes to the Indianapolis 500 coming up on May the 26th. We got some Twins tickets in there. See those first place Twins take on the Oakland A's. We've got a whole bunch of things that we have in there. So we look forward to playing that for the next 2 weeks.
We do indeed. A very popular contest, much like concentration or memory or what have you. We hope you tune in every day to both local programming shows to, you know, keep track of the numbers. If you can't, you can go to the podcast at kgymradio.com. Pick up those numbers, and a lot of folks keep track. And it's I don't imagine we'll get a winner out of the chute today.
But you never know.
That'd be an upset.
You never know.
You have an opportunity.
You do have an opportunity.
Yeah.
And, hey, there was a certain animal on Saturday that didn't think they'd have an opportunity. They had an opportunity. We'll get to that coming up in just a moment. As I mentioned, Jeff Johnson will be joining us coming up in about 25 minutes or so. Lots to talk about as far as the local scene with Jeff is concerned. Over the weekend, first of all, congratulations to the Iowa baseball team. Took 2 out of 3 from Cal Irvine. They were a top 20 team coming in. Iowa wins Friday. They win Saturday. Irvine came back to win 15-4, I think, yesterday. But the RPI bump that Iowa got, tremendous, as well as Iowa into the top 25 for the first time in 4 seasons. And you got to think, barring a colossal collapse as far as the remaining 2 weekends of Big Ten play and the Big Ten tournament in Omaha, I mean, this team's got a pretty good chance to make a regional now for Rick Keller. So that's great to see.
I think it does. The Hawkeyes tied for third right now in the Big Ten standings, although things are really bunched between 2 and 8 maybe. But 2 out of 3 from Cal Irvine was a definite resume builder. Definitely helped the Hawkeye baseball program. Getting in the top 25 doesn't hurt. This weekend, final home series against Michigan State, which is one of the bottom feeders in the Big Ten right now. You would think 2 out of 3 at a minimum for the Hawkeyes is necessary, if not all 3. And then, pedal to the metal down the stretch.
Yep, you can't let what you have done over the past month come unraveled, though, against a Michigan State. So hopefully that will be the case, and Iowa will keep on doing what it has been doing, and that is winning.
So. Won a lot of close games, 1 and 2 run games, and that, you know, flips your season record tremendously. If you lose most of those, then the record isn't very good at all. By the way, Iowa finishes the Big Ten season at Maryland a week from this weekend.
Correct. Last home series this coming weekend. Doesn't mean there won't be baseball at Duane Banks Field. Quad City is going to play their next 3 games starting tonight over there. And admission is free down there if you'd like to make your way to Iowa City. But they do ask that you have a donation for the flood victims over in Davenport that need that money so very, very much. And, of course, Bandits playing in Iowa City due to all the flooding around Modern Woodman Park. I still want to say John O'Donnell Stadium. I still want to say it. And
I would understand.
I will say it. John O'Donnell Stadium in Davenport. 319-366-1600. Also wanted to throw this out. Happy birthday to my favorite all-time baseball player, Willie Mays. Who turns 88 today.
How about that?
So I still think he was, in my opinion, still the greatest baseball player to ever play. All the tools. He had them all. He could do it all. So I know that's debatable, and I'm not saying that I'm right and everyone else is wrong. In my opinion, I still think Willie Mays was the greatest baseball player ever.
It's hard to argue, and I'm not going to argue with you. Hank Aaron, Roberto Clemente, if he had lived.
True. Very much so.
Hard to argue with Willie Mays.
Hard to argue. 319-366-1600. All right. 10 minutes coming up on 10 past the hour of 3 o'clock, and the big story nationally still overshadowing, oh my gosh, the NBA playoffs over the weekend, etc., would be what happened at Churchill Downs on Saturday in the 145th edition of the Kentucky Derby. We had it for you right here on KGYM, and looked like maximum security, had it lock, stock, and barrel. But if you watched closely, you could see going through 3 and into 4, rounding clubhouse turn, that is a horse phrase there, that maximum security faded out from the rail in front of traffic. Was not picked up even by replay. It was picked up right away, which is the first problem, which a lot of the national people that don't know horse racing neglect to say, is that the inquiry was put in right away afterwards by a couple of different owners, as a matter of fact. Well, it turns out after a 25-minute wait, maximum security was disqualified. And a 65-1 long shot came away, and he will have the win in the 145th Kentucky Derby. Unprecedented stuff, certainly. And was it the right call or not? 319-366-1600.
It was the biggest story of the weekend. There's no question about it. And something that happens for the first time in 145 years, you've got to label it as such. Plenty of aspects to this. How many folks discarded their country home ticket immediately after the race? Threw in the garbage.
Well, he didn't do that because if he would have played, you know, win, place, or show, he would have won you some money.
Yeah.
So I think they held on to him, but I see your point.
Yeah. Did the stewards get it right? That's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Did the stewards at Churchill Downs make the right call, yes or no? Thanks to Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. I think the stewards got it right. based on many. Okay, first of all, full disclosure, I'm not a horse person. I happen to live with one who is passionate about horses, knows a lot about them, and has advised me about what these animals do. Oftentimes, they have a mind of their own. And I'm convinced it was the horse that is not yet 3 years old, had only three or four stakes races under his belt, and perhaps got freaked out by 18 other horses.
Or the crowd.
Breathing down his neck, 150,000 people at
puddle.
Churchill Downs.
There was some thought that it could have seen its reflection in a puddle.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. I mean, this was nothing that the jockey did incorrectly. It's just, this is an animal. It has its own mind. It has its own brain. Now, with that being said, though, and you're right, she would know a lot more than we do at this point, but the rules are pretty explicit, and the rules are there flat out for safety. Safety. Because what could have happened could have been an absolute devastating tragedy when Maximum Security swung out like that. War of Wills jockey had to get up, actually pull the reins a little bit on his horse, who was making a good run, and stop him from going and trying to pass Maximum Security. And like I said earlier, two of the owners saw that right away and put in an inquiry. It had nothing to do with the replays that NBC had shown. It had nothing to do with that. The inquiry was in there before any of this happened. So the replay thing just kind of helped out, and the stewards used it.
Maximum Security impeded the progress of a couple, three horses. I'm not so sure it impeded the progress of the eventual winner, Country Home, who was three or four horses to Maximum Security's right. I thought about this, you know, impeding the progress of another horse. I go back and look at the entire race, and I bet you with a 19-horse race, in that first mile, some horses were impeding the progress of others.
We watched it again in the sports office. And out of the gate, definitely. But that always happens. And the horses aren't going fast yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, relatively speaking, fast.
Okay.
You're going to have that, especially with 19 horses in the field.
It's a bad PI in the first quarter, in my mind.
Yeah, other than that, there wasn't a whole lot of jostling in that first part of the race until you got to coming out of three and going into four like that. And again, it is a safety factor, because what happens if one horse clips another horse? Then you've got horses going down, you got jockeys going down.
I get that.
And you've got all sorts of problems. And that's why the rule's in there.
It's not rubbing, it's racing, right?
But no rubbing in horse racing. This isn't NASCAR.
Kyle, good afternoon.
Isn't NASCAR.
Yeah, Mark, I'm not super familiar with horse racing, I think, like a lot of people. And I kind of viewed this through the same lens as you just touched on. It feels a lot like pass interference in the way that, like you guys just touched on, go back, look at the very start of the race, we're talking... There's a lot of horses on that track. How are you to avoid this stuff? And so is there somebody more familiar with horse racing who can say, is there a point where they start drawing a line where, you know, it's kind of okay and unavoidable up to a certain point in the race, but then coming around that last turn, we don't want this? Because I don't see how you can really avoid it. And I think you're right. If you wanted to go back and review this whole race, you can probably find a lot of that. And it just feels like, is that really something you want to do?
And you mean to tell me in the 144 other derbies,
this never happened?
No other winner or horse has ever impeded the progress of another?
Right. And so,
really?
I'm with you.
I do think the stewards got it right, according to the rules.
Yep.
I know.
According to the rule, it's right there. That he clearly dove right in front of a couple other horses. So it's there. I'm not saying it's not there. But how it's curious to me how that rule is enforced at that point in that race.
I think the larger, more pertinent question is about replay. And shortly after the race was made official, I issued a tweet which said, "Is sophisticated all angles replay ruining sports or making them a whole lot better?" And while it's not scientific, it's not a large sample size, the majority of the respondents to that tweet said, "Replay is ruining sports." What do you think? 319-366-1600.
Did they get it right? Is replay actually hurting more than it's helping? And certainly in the football and basketball realm, I think you got to ask yourself that question, because you're seeing so many angles now that the human eye can't see, especially in football.
We've seen it every sport. Football in the NFC Championship game.
Absolutely.
In golf. In every basketball game, you're reviewing the clock and this and that, and oftentimes it doesn't affect the outcome. But now, horse racing.
Mm-hmm. Add horse racing to the mix. Although, like we said, yes, they used replay. The stewards did. The stewards did to help them with the ultimate call. But it was not replay that made the Derby stewards look at what happened and what happened on the track. That was a completely different thing. Wanted to play this here. This was from ESPN Radio over the weekend. This is from Matt Jones, who covers horse racing for the Kentucky Sports Radio Network. He was there, knows quite a bit, knows more than we do put together as far as horse racing is concerned. And this is what he had to say about the Derby.
If horses start in the turn veering off into other lanes, people are going to get killed. I mean, that's really the case, because the you start clipping heels on horses, and it can be a real problem. And there's no doubt about this. Maximum Security veered off, and that is against the rules. Now, I still think Maximum Security was the best horse. It didn't need to veer off. I think it veered off because it got a little spooked by a puddle that I think gave a reflection in its eye. But regardless, two horses were behind it. It cut them off. If it wasn't for the jockey of War of Will, I think you could have had a devastating pileup. But I think for people who really know horse racing, it was the right decision, even though it made a lot of people mad.
There you go. That's Matt Jones, who covers horse racing for the Kentucky Sports Radio Network. 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you out there, your thoughts about it. And I think the booing was just due to the fact that, A, most of the people that were booing had probably been drinking since the draw on Thursday or whatever it was, and B, because they had money that they were going to lose because Maximum Security didn't win this thing.
Well, the other storyline, and another storyline, is a billionaire is out of stud fees, the owner of Maximum Security. Yeah, I think that's probably the least of his worries. I don't know.
Already said he is not going to run the Preakness. They are going to file a protest, but they don't expect the protest to be overturned, and they are not going to go to Pimlico and Baltimore and race in the Preakness coming up in a couple of weeks.
Scott, am I favorite horse person?
Yes.
Horses do what they do, and the rider does the best to get them back in line. It is what it is, and yet, yes, it was spooked.
Oh, definitely. Whatever spooked it, whether it be 150,000 people or another horse or a reflection, I agree. I agree. 319-366-1600. Jones went on to say, and I heard I listened to the complete interview that he had, and he went on to say that if this was a Thursday afternoon at Churchill Downs in the fifth race or whatever, this protest and disqualification would have taken 90 seconds.
Took a lot of guts to make the decision that the three-person steward panel did.
Yeah, and it took 25 minutes for the Kentucky Derby, because you got a feeling, A, they wanted to get it right, and B, they knew the ramifications.
Fastest 2 minutes in sports, longest 22 minutes in sports, wrapped up in one day. 31-48 on the text line. In regards to replay, I agree, Dukes. You can't even celebrate a play or the end of a game or event because the outcome might change.
You never know. You never know. Mentioned the safety aspect of it, and it's interesting because horse racing and auto racing, not NASCAR, the NTT Data IndyCar Series also has that same rule in effect. You are not allowed to block, and it is a safety issue. If you are found to have blocked another driver in another car, since it is open wheel and they are going so fast, you are penalized. You must come in whatever they deem necessary, a drive-through in the pits, a 10-second penalty in the pits, whatever they think is necessary. So it's not only in horse racing, it's also in at least one form of auto racing because of the safety aspect of it. So this will be debated for a long, long time.
Go ahead and weigh in, 366-1600, our Hertzien and Stocker Jeweler text line and our phone line. Kyle Mann, who you heard from just a bit ago, our producer, and Nick at 3206, the outcome may change unless you're a Saints fan. There you go.
Yeah.
Replay once again.
Poor Troy.
That was Nick, not Troy.
I know, but I still think of Cajun Troy. Her poor Saints. Didn't get that call, and didn't get it. Next year, But it's going to be empty, though, the first time somebody gets a call. The Saints get a call overturned like that.
Yeah.
It's going to be empty for our poor gal. 319-366-1600. Jeff Johnson going to join us coming up in a little bit. We'll play Race to Win as well here for you shortly. Earlier today, interesting, because this is, I believe, the second time it has happened. Different venues, but did you see at Cincinnati today with the bees overtaking Great American Ballpark?
Maybe in protest of Scott Schebler being sent down.
Perhaps.
I don't know.
I know they had this at Riverfront many years ago. I mean, probably 30 years ago. They had a bee problem. They had to actually delay the game today nearly 20 minutes, not because of an inquiry, but because bees had taken over. They couldn't play the game. So they had to get a guy out there with the anti-bee stuff. I don't know what they do with the bees, but it's just funny that all that happens usually in baseball. They've had geese on a diamond. You've had snakes on a diamond. You've had
squirrels
on a diamond. You've had everything on a diamond.
Streakers.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come back.
A different animal.
Yeah,
right?
Let's hope it doesn't come back to that someday. But interesting. Interesting that they had to stop the game. Couldn't start the game today because of that. And you mentioned Scott Schebler. Too bad for Scott. Hopefully he's going to get things turned around in AAA and be back before you know it with the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, this is a guy who did 30 home runs very recently. And perhaps it's something that every major league player goes through or almost every major league hitter goes through. But, yeah, we hope that he gets straightened out in AAA and returns to the majors very soon.
Also, some football news that we're going to get to coming up here in just a little bit. Not NFL football news, but XFL news. We're going to get to that before 4 o'clock. Coming up, we're going to take a break, and we will return, and we will have more of the Gym Class coming your way. We're going to talk to Jeff Johnson coming up very quickly here as well. Monday edition of the Gym Class, Scott, Mark, and Kyle with you here on KGYM. Back with more after this.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
At Trex, we know there's a place for wood in your backyard. We recommend the fire pit, but when it comes to choosing the right material for your next deck, Look no further than the superior beauty and durability of the number one name in outdoor living. Trex decking delivers the look of wood without all the work and the worry. So make sure your next deck is built with Trex.
Find Trex decking at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander. Visit either location in Iowa City.
All right, 327, and we are going to play Race to Win for the very first time here in 2019. We need caller 6 at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. You are going to play Race to Win coming up.
Whether your project's below ground, above ground, or you're just breaking ground, United Rentals has the equipment and tools you need. We sell expertly maintained used equipment from forklifts and backhoes to scissor lifts and boom lifts. Visit us online to search our inventory of more than 4,000 equipment categories and get custom information on any unit. Visit unitedrentals.com/used today.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
The Bucks storm into Boston and take the 2-1 series lead over the Celtics. How will the Seas respond?
Coverage starts tonight at 7 o'clock here on the gym. 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Race to Win.
Oh, it's good to have the music back, Mark, isn't it?
Indeed.
15 great prizes, our concentration game we call Race to Win here. And our very, very, very first contestant of 2019 is Dana in Anamosa that joins us here on the program. Dana, how you doing?
Good.
Good. You know how we play Race to Win. I just kind of explained it a little bit.
Yep, I got to pick some numbers. Hopefully I get them right.
There you go. We got 15 great prizes for you to win. And the rest of our listeners out there. So we've got numbers from 1 through 30. So I will ask for your first number for 2019 here, Dana.
Number 7.
Lucky number 7. Is that why you chose? Because of lucky number 7?
Yep, not the first one. So like they said, I'm shooting in the dark.
You are shooting in the dark, but we'll see what we got here. Okay, number 7.
A $50 gift card to Milex Complete Auto Care.
Good prize right there from Milex Complete Auto Care. What number is going to match that?
20.
Number 20. Let's see what we have. A $50 gift card from Austad's Golf, Cedar Rapids. Very close, but not quite. So, Danny, you got the ball rolling, and everybody on their cards at home is now going with this and that and circling them and whatever. Hey, you took a stab in the dark, Dana. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening in Anamosa today.
Thank you.
All right, that's how we play. Dana and Anamosa are our very first contestant.
Got the ball rolling. Got the $50 part of it right, but not a match. But we'll give more opportunities today on the Todd Bromekamp Show with Alex Kuhn and the next couple weeks. And, don't call us. Don't email us. Don't text us. Don't ask us at the grocery store about.
I can't tell you
whether we know the matches. Of course we do, but I can't tell you.
Can't tell you. That would be cheating out there. So we're going to talk to Jeff Johnson of the Gazette coming up here in just a couple of moments here, and 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in more on the Kentucky Derby and the after effects of the Kentucky Derby. We mentioned Iowa baseball. Iowa softball is going to be playing in the Big Ten tournament. They're going to be the number 12 seed, and they will take on fifth-seeded Wisconsin, a team that swept Iowa in the regular season. That will be Thursday morning. By the way, our friend Jack Dom, his Mount Mercy baseball run came to an end today for the year as they were beaten by Clark in the Heart of America tournament down in Ozark, Missouri. And their season comes to an end. So, but they made it quite a ways in the tournament.
Good season. I think 29 wins for Jack's program and made a deep run into the conference tournament. So congratulations to Mount Mercy. By the way, the Iowa Conference tournament coming up.
This weekend.
Baseball tournament this weekend.
Now, why would you say that?
Because it's here in town. and Coe might have a shot.
They're the number one seed. Only three losses this year for the Coe Cohawks. So, best of luck to them. Coe, by the way, three teams from the American Rivers Conference invited to the Division III softball tournament pairings that were announced earlier today. Central, of course, got the automatic bid by beating Coe yesterday. Coe was pretty much a shoe-in, and they were rewarded with an at-large bid. And then Wartburg also got an at-large bid for the Division III tournament today. So a lot of tournaments going on.
Question about the Race to Win prize list. We'll have that up on our website quickly here, but you mentioned two of the top prizes. Go ahead.
I got them. Down. Six general admission passes to the Indy 500, a Citizen's Men's Watch from Hertina Stocker Jewelers, Cedar Rapids River Kings prize package, four tickets, T-shirt and a hat, $50 gift card, Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar in Uptown Marion, two free admissions to the Fantastic Escape in Cedar Rapids by Lindale Mall, $50 gift card to a Hawkeye Convenience Store, and that includes Champ's Chicken. There you go. Good stuff out there. We have a tool set from Acme Tools, a Makita 3-speed cordless drill. I saw that. That thing is awesome. A $100 gift card for the Iowa Magic Shop in Uptown Marion. Four tickets to the Peter Frampton concert at the McGrath Amphitheater on July the 29th. $50 gift card to Culver's Garden Center and Greenhouse. A $50 gift card to Analog Vault in Nubo. A coffee tasting party for 15 at Scooter's Coffee. $50 gift card to Austin's Golf in Cedar Rapids. Four tickets to see the Twins take on the A's on July the 21st. And a $50 gift card to Milex Complete Auto Care off of Center Point Road.
You can review that list. Again, it'll be on our website, but it's also posted now on our KGYM Radio Twitter feed. That's at KGYM Radio.
It's also up on our KGYM Facebook page as well, if you would like to check that out. We encourage you to do so. Also encourage you to give our next guest a follow on Twitter and online. He is Jeff Johnson of the Gazette, and you can follow him at his handle is at JEJE66, and go to the Gazette, their webpage, and also give him a follow and read his stuff out there. How you doing, Jeff?
I'll take those Twins tickets.
You see, you have to win them first.
Oh, dang. There's always a catch.
There's always a catch, isn't there? Yeah. Not till July.
I'm good.
Everybody's going to be, you know, wanting tickets then.
Exactly. Well, let's hope, right?
Jake Odorizzi, by the way, player of the week in the American League this past week. That was just announced.
Impressive.
So, there you go. There you go. But we're here to talk Colonels. Long homestand just got done, completed for Cedar Rapids with a terrific pitching performance yesterday. First professional win for Mr. Sands yesterday, and looked good.
Yeah, you know, he's one of those guys from a power college program in Florida State, and, you know, kind of looks the part and pitches the part. And, you know, his junior year last year was kind of sabotaged by some bicep tendonitis, so after the Twins drafted him and signed him for I think the slot value was like $600,000, which was like double of what the slot value was. He signed for $600,000, which was double, so they shut him down, and you know, he's getting his start in pro ball right now, and he looked great yesterday, and for the most part it looked pretty good here in the first half dozen starts or so.
What kind of the shape are the Colonels in, Jeff? As always, players come and go. Trey Cabbage, one of the better players on the team in the early goings onward now. Is this team, can it make a run in the first half, or do we wait to the second half?
Well, they're going to have to get some offense going. That's kind of really been the disappointing part, I think, is I think they went into yesterday hitting only like .227 as a team. And, you know, you keep in mind that they had, oh, man, 6, 7, 8 guys, position players that had basically a lot of time here last year. And those guys just haven't gotten off to the starts that certainly they wanted to in their second year at this level. And that's, you know, offense has kind of been a little bit of a disappointment. And, you know, defense, you know, it's been a little disappointing as well. You know, up the middle, they're playing a couple guys that probably shouldn't even be here right now just because of injuries and things like that. So guys that are getting acclimated to a place where they probably weren't even supposed to go at this point. Starting pitching's been pretty good. Bullpen's been, you know, pretty good, I think, overall, too. So, you know, just have to wait and see and wait, as everyone else has, to see when shortstop Wander Javier actually makes it to Cedar Rapids. Mm-hmm. So that seems to be the big question. He's, you know, one of their top two or three, four prospects, shortstop, and he's been back in extended spring training, I think, waiting for the weather to warm up. So
yep.
He should be here just about any time. Nobody is telling me anyway exactly when, but should be pretty soon. And that should help out the offense, I would think, a little bit.
It will, and I'm with you. I think everyone's waiting to get the weather to warm up. And might be a great week for the Colonels to be on the road. As a matter of fact, taking a look at the forecast. But when this kid gets here, he's going to be worth the price of admission to go out to the ballpark and take a look at him.
Well, that's what everybody's saying. You know, he spent quite a bit of time in big league spring training camp and, you know, performed very well, and then I think hurt his quad late in spring training, and that along with the shoulder injury and surgery he had last year has kind of kept him back in Florida. And, you know, he hasn't played in games that count in you know, 13 months. So, you know, you wonder how much rust is going to be there. But, you know, at this point, I mean, Twins got to get him on the field. No question about that, whether it's here or wherever. So, you know, they paid a lot of money for him. I think he was like a $3 million guy out of the Dominican Republic. So they obviously think a lot of him. And should be, I think, pretty interesting when he gets here, which, will again, will probably be sooner rather than later.
Weather and always, most always an issue in April, Jeff. And you noted that attendance is down in your Sunday piece. Although, no coincidence, weather cooperated this weekend and some good crowds at the ballpark. But I want to ask you about Cedar Rapids and then in the Quad City situation, where flooding has just devastated that franchise in terms of being able to host home games.
Yeah, you know, honestly, Mark, I've never really figured this town out as far as attendance baseball-wise. I mean, you can't ask for a nicer stadium than what we've got in this town. And you know, they year after year, it's pretty much just the same number. You know, every season. So I always joke with everybody over at the ballpark, you know, heck, you should change your name to Hawkeyes. That'd get a ton of people to come watch you play. So, you know, I don't understand it either really fully. Like I said, great facility, and the teams have been good if you're looking at it that way. And, I mean, it's a pretty cheap way to, you know, pretty cheap night out for your family or, you know, your girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever. So, you know, we'll see. Obviously, the crowds will be better as the weather warms up. As you said, some nice crowds this weekend. And, you know, then there's that situation down in Quad Cities, which is, you know, just a shame. First-year general manager. She's just, I can't imagine. I can't understand how she's keeping it all together at this point with everything they've had. You know, it's obviously two home games at Modern Woodman Park and playing three tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday down at the University of Iowa because, you know, there's a bunch of college tournaments, you know, what American Rivers Conference is here in town. They asked Clinton if they could play three games, and they have, like, I think the Iowa Community College Tournament down or over there. So they've been searching all year for ballparks to play games in, and it's just a shame. I mean, you look at the pictures, everything's underwater downtown Davenport, except for the stadium. It's kind of an oasis there, which is a good thing, obviously, because if they hadn't built those berms, you know, along the outfield there, I don't know if, I don't know when they'd ever get in that stadium this season. So just a shame. You hope obviously, as we all do, that the water kind of recedes, and you know, everybody can get to the massive job of cleaning up down there.
And yet the team leads the Western Division. Maybe that's the bigger story. I don't know.
That's an Astros thing. I mean, the Astros always put really good minor league teams together, and I think when you look at that Quad Cities team, it has really good pitching, which, again, is kind of an Astros staple in the minor leagues and in the major leagues, for that matter. And, I mean, they've been able to keep things together despite not really having a home ballpark, and that's, you know, that's a credit to those boys, obviously, and the manager and the coaching staff. It's not anything that anybody wants to go through. It's kind of like I think the Frontier League, which is an independent league, had a team called the Frontier Grays here about 5-6 years ago, and that was their thing. They played every single game on the road all summer long. They were a traveling team, and unfortunately, the Quad City River Bandits have been a traveling team the first month, you know, plus here of the Midwest League season.
Jeff Johnson joining us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, covers the Cedar Rapids Colonels, also covers the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders. Their season coming to an end, 10 to 14 days ago, I think it's been, or something. But good bounce back, I think, for Mark Carlson and the Rough Riders. You know, they never want to see it come to an end, especially without hoisting the cup. But still, after what has happened the last couple of years, certainly a lot of positives coming out of this hockey season.
Yeah, and, you know, I kind of asked that question to Coach and got a pretty prickly response, which I guess I kind of should have understood. He was, you know, it's not always about wins and losses. It's about, you know, getting guys better and making them better kids and better human beings. And, you know, that's the way he's always looked at it, and that's the way you should look at it, you know, at the junior level, is you're not just trying to make these guys better hockey players, but, you know, better human beings and, you know, have them grow up into adults. So, but yeah, on the ice, great job. Very good team, very entertaining team, and you know, won a playoff series, which is awesome, and lost to in four games to Chicago, which is now in the Clark Cup Finals with Sioux Falls, and you know, got outplayed in that series, I would say, and you wonder, they had kind of a norovirus go through the locker room at the most inopportune time, you know, a week and a half ago or whatever it was, had a bunch of guys that, you know, missed some games and played sick in that series. So, but overall, yeah, great season, great group of kids. And, you know, the draft, phase one is tonight, and then the main part of the draft is tomorrow all day. So, well, no time off. You get ready to build a team for the following season.
You say kids, and I think anybody that goes to a stable or any other USHL game, Jeff, has to keep in mind these are teenagers.
Yeah, 16, generally 16 to 20 years old. Some kids turn like 21 during the season. But, yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, a few of them go to high schools here. The other guys, you know, I think they take some online classes to get a head start in college, and that's it. I mean, some of them are, a lot of them are away from home for the very first time. So, you know, that's what the USHL should be about. And that's what Mark Carlson's program has always been about, is, you know, obviously he's as big a competitor as anybody, and always wants to win and win championships and things like that. But he's got the right mindset in that, you know, it's, hey, we're here to do right by the kids and make them better hockey players. And, you know, mature people that are ready to move on to college, and you know, obviously, then quite a few of them then professional hockey once their college careers are over.
Very much so. Now, you mentioned the draft, phase one coming up tonight, and then all through the day tomorrow. How does this work? I mean, you've asked and been around Coach Carlson enough, and GM Carlson. I guess he'll wear that hat coming up for the next 36 hours or so, but. How does the draft work in the USHL? Do you go for needs, or are you just looking for really good hockey players that you can develop? What's the mindset?
Well, I mean, he's got a list right now of guys that will return next season, and that obviously can still change over the summer, unfortunately, for USHL clubs. So I mean, he's got a pretty good idea of what he's got coming back, and, you know, he'll draft according to that probably. And, you know, then you want to – you can't just look at next year. You have to kind of look 2 years down the road as well, and then maybe even 3 years down the road, and maybe draft some younger players that won't be here right away, but that you think have that potential to be, you know, to be here at some point. So, I mean, it's very complicated. I mean, it's amazing. I've been able to go over there and kind of watch them do their thing on draft day, and they've got boards upon boards of the last names, and it's just incredible how many kids are on each team's radar, really. And you know, they've formed some sort of draft plan, obviously, and you know, hope that they'll be able to follow it. And you know, have next year's team be as good, if not better, than this year's team.
Jeff, I want to go back to baseball for a minute. I told you personally that I appreciate reading your Iowans in the minors, keeping updated on Eastern Iowans and former Iowa College players, and it's really a good read on Sundays. But in terms of the next Cedar Rapidian to make the major leagues, it appears that will be Mitch Keller with the Pirates. I want to ask you about him, and how soon do you think he might crack the major leagues? And then about A.J. Puck, highly regarded pitcher, underwent Tommy John surgery, and his prognosis.
Yeah, you're right, Mark. I think Mitch will be the next Cedar Rapids guy, you know, in the major leagues. And, I mean, he's really at this point probably just fine-tuning some things and, you know, before he gets the call to Pittsburgh, who knows when that is. Obviously, injuries dictate a lot of that as well. And, you know, the Pirates have been obviously very patient with him and have kind of formulated a 5-6 year plan, and he's followed it perfectly. I mean, he's pitched well all the way up and down their minor league system and throwing well in AAA, and, you know, certainly has the potential to be a piece in their starting rotation for many years, if he can continue to stay healthy and progress. And then, you know, AJ is down in extended spring training right now, still kind of rehabbing, I guess, from that Tommy John surgery. Haven't really heard anything as far as when he might be able to be back on a mound. I believe he's throwing or has thrown for quite a while, actually. I'm not sure about game situations or anything like that, but you know, Oakland, obviously, when you have a great arm like Puck's got, you know, you want to be as careful as you can coming off that surgery. So I would assume he would be, you know, as the weather's warmed up here again, probably somebody that'll be assigned somewhere, you know, AA, AAA, I don't know, probably here in the next month would be my guess. So, yeah, I mean, it's exciting. It's unbelievable. You could have two pretty impact starting pitchers in the major leagues from little old Cedar Rapids, Iowa here very, very, very soon.
And I hope we get another guy back from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Well, actually, from just south of Cedar Rapids and Swisher. But Scott Schebler sent down to AAA by the Cincinnati Reds just to work on some things, maybe clear the head a little bit. I don't think he's going to be down there very long before he's back up with Cincinnati, especially after Matt Kemp was released by the Reds. But, you know, this, it's a little bit damaging, but it's not a devastating thing. And Scott's going to come out of this okay.
Yeah, I think he's mentally a very strong person. And it's really just a shame because I thought this year, you know, he talked about, you know, feeling as healthy and as good physically as he has. You know, probably in his career coming into this season. I think I wrote a story about how he had a buddy from Jefferson and his wife move in with him down in Arizona, and his buddy's a physical therapist. So they went through a lot of, you know, rehabilitation and physical therapy stuff in the off season. So he felt great going into this year. He had a great opportunity, I think, to earn a ton of playing time and kind of be maybe an everyday guy for a team that I think's on the uprise in the Reds. And you know, instead he didn't hit, they didn't hit as a team, and you know, something had to be done. And you know, he'll go down to AAA and get some work in. I think, as you guys said, there's maybe a little bit of an adjustment hitting-wise, mechanically, that they wanted him to work on as a coaching staff. So I know he'll go down there in AAA and hopefully figure it out and get back up and contribute in Cincinnati. I mean, the guy hit 30 home runs, a couple of years ago in the big leagues? And So, I mean, it's there. It's there. It's just a matter of, as it is with all major leaguers, finding it and, consistently getting it done.
We talked about the story of the weekend being the Derby and what happened there, JJ, but it might have been the Twins winning at Yankee Stadium on your birthday. On your birthday, I think.
Exactly. I kind of kidded on Twitter that, you know, I want to live long enough to see the Twins sweep a series at Yankee Stadium. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but, you know, I'll take one game, right, Mark?
Absolutely.
You know, they played great and won 3-4 and against Houston. So, I mean, it's a team that's playing pretty good baseball right now. And, you know, with Cleveland's injury issues and things, we'll see. We're only a month into this thing, but at least the first month's been pretty positive, right?
Right, while we can.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Keep reading the stuff at thegazette.com and give him a follow on Twitter. And Jeff, always good talking with you, and belated happy birthday.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette joining us here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class at 3:53. We'll take a break, come back, and have a little bit more of the program after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final boy wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Now that Human Resources VP Ashley Campbell has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, she's managing her workforce like a rock star. She even has her own hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have a really diverse workforce with different hours, skill sets, and pay grades.
Don't stop. I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're motivating and engaging the right people every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Mother's Day is just days away, but don't worry, because 1-800-Flowers is here to help you pick out a gorgeous bouquet that'll show her she's loved. Today only, when you order a dozen sorbet roses, 1-800-Flowers will give you an extra half dozen free, plus a vase for only $29.99. That's right. Buy a dozen sorbet roses, get half a dozen, plus a free vase for only $29.99. This limited time offer is only available today, so order now. With an impressive mix of pastel shades in pink, orange, and lavender, these roses are guaranteed to make her smile. These breathtaking roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak and shipped overnight to ensure freshness. Trust 1-800-Flowers to make mom feel loved. Order today from 1-800-Flowers.com. To order a dozen sorbet roses, get half a dozen plus a free vase for only $29.99. And for details, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code WILL. Again, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, enter code WILL. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code WILL. Hurry, this fantastic offer ends today.
Stay tuned. The Tom Promo Camp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next right here on KGYM. Couple of tidbits to let you know about the XFL. We've got a big boost today. as they announced 27 games are going to be on network television starting next spring. Not this spring, but next spring. They brought in some pretty high-level coaching, pretty high-level names, and now Fox and the ESPN brand of networks, mainly ABC on Saturday afternoons, is going to show XFL football. Take it for what it's worth.
It should help meet payroll.
There you go. And the invitations to the NBA G League Elite Camp have been given out today. Several Hawks, several Cyclones, Tyler Cook of Iowa, Mario Shayok, and Lindell Wigginton of Iowa State have been invited, as well as former Hawkeye Peter Jock. They can invite G League players from this past year to this camp, and the top players will then get an invite to the draft combine, which will be held after this in Chicago. Do you follow how
I do.
That works?
I do.
Hope the people out there follow how that works.
Baseball and basketball on tonight, KGYMRadio.com. KGYM Radio, 107.5 FM, Twins at the Blue Jays, joined in progress at 7 o'clock, and I think we have an NBA playoff game as well.
Two. Going to join up with Boston and Milwaukee at 7 o'clock on 1600 AM, along with 106.3 FM, and then it'll be Golden State and Houston, Game 4. Both of these are Game 4s coming up tonight. Milwaukee leading 2-1, Golden State leading 2-1 as well. So we'll join up with the Twins and the Jays coming up tonight. That will be at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM. Talk Major League Baseball with you coming up tomorrow on the program and more. We'll talk to you then. Have a great night, everybody.
Mother's Day is just days away, but don't worry because 1-800-Flowers is here